Greetings, everyone. It's time for Native Sun, bringing you news of Indian country on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Your reader is Bethany Williams. I will start today with a story called Judge Extends Lithium Drilling Freeze, a Major Win for the Wallapai, by Shandine Silversmith of the AZ Mirror, published on November 7th, 2024. A federal judge extended a temporary pause of exploratory drilling as part of a lithium mining project near the Wallapai tribe's sacred site after the court found that irreparable harm from drilling is likely. Lithium exploration is an important public interest at a time when the United States is striving to transition to renewable sources of energy, Judge Diane Humatiwa wrote in the decision. However, this interest does not outweigh the potential damage the Phase 3 drilling project may cause to Ha Kamwe, which is central to the Wallapai tribe lifeway. Nor does it permit a federal agency to shortcut its regulatory consultation obligations or reasoned evaluation of the effects of its undertaking, she added. And this court finds that irreparable harm from the Phase 3 drilling project is not just potential, it is likely. We're pleased with how everything turned out with this decision, said Kavoka Jackson, director of the Wallapai Department of Cultural Resources. It was definitely worth the wait. Jackson said the judge's decision is reassuring, and it validates the tribe's long-voiced concerns. It feels like we're being heard, and it also puts it into context that this is a very serious issue, and the tribe is taking it very seriously, she said. We want to protect these sacred places and protect the water and other resources in the area, not only for us, but for the future. The court issued a preliminary injunction on November 5th, halting all drilling activity as the Wallapai tribe's lawsuit continues in court. The decision comes over a month after the tribe presented its argument for the extension in court. This doesn't resolve the case. Laura Berglund, senior attorney for Earth Justice, representing the tribe, told the Arizona Mirror. Berglund said they're pleased the judge recognized the drilling threatened the tribe's resources after hearing from witnesses during the September hearing, and they will continue to work on the case as it moves forward. We're glad the court rejected BLM's 19th century mindset, that the company gets whatever they want at the expense of indigenous communities, Berglund said in a press release. BLM should have considered alternatives with less impact on Ha Kamwe, like drilling fewer wells or moving them farther from the spring. In August, the judge granted the Wallapai tribe's initial request for a temporary restraining order against BLM, temporarily freezing the exploratory drilling project. The restraining order was granted after the Wallapai tribe filed a lawsuit following years of the tribe actively voicing its concerns about the mining effort. I feel a huge sense of relief today, but we know this is not the end of the story, Wallapai tribal chairman Dwayne Clark said in a written statement. Our people have used Ha Kamwe for centuries for healing, prayer, and rites of passage. We're absolutely determined to protect our sacred waters and our way of life from those who would destroy it to enrich themselves, he added. Ha Kamwe is located within the Wallapai tribe's property known as Choya Canyon Ranch, and the boundaries of Big Sandy Valley Project nearly surround the entire property. Only one portion of the tribe's land does not border the drilling project. The spring is recognized as a traditional cultural property and is eligible to be listed on the National Register of Historic Places. The tribe's lawsuit claims the project's approval violates the National Environmental Protection Act and the National Historic Preservation Act. The lawsuit claims that BLM approved the mining project without appropriately considering a reasonable range of alternatives or taking a hard look at water resources under the NEPA, and moved forward with the project without providing mitigation measures under the NHPA for Haakamwe and other resources essential to the tribe, thus violating both acts. Out of concern for Haakamwe, the tribe submitted multiple public comments, sent several letters of concern, and participated in tribal consultations with BLM throughout the Big Sandy Valley Lithium Exploration Project planning phase. Big Sandy Inc., a subsidiary of Australian mining company Arizona Lithium, leads the project and has sought approval since 2019. Arizona Lithium is not a direct party in the Hualapai tribe's lawsuit, but it filed a motion to intervene. Humatiwa granted the request in August, allowing the company to defend against the tribe's efforts to stop the project. BLM's approval of the Big Sandy Valley project allows the mining company to drill and test up to 131 exploration holes across 21 acres of BLM-managed public land to determine whether a full-scale lithium mining operation could be viable. That article was, Judge Extends Lithium Drilling Freeze, a Major Win for the Hualapai Tribe. The next article is from High Country News and is written by Anna V. Smith. It was published on October 29, 2024. What Project 2025 has to say about Native communities. As in previous tight election years, Native voters have an important role in the outcome of the 2024 election, especially in key swing states where the margins are slim. The political initiative known as Project 2025 and its vision for the future of tribal nations and indigenous communities could play a part in that. Last year, the conservative think tank, the Heritage Foundation, introduced Project 2025, which includes a mandate for leadership, meant to be a roadmap of conservative policies and legislation for former President Donald Trump to implement should he win the November 2024 election, which he did. Trump hasn't put forward any policy regarding tribes or Native communities, while the Republican Party's platform is absent of the same. The mandate, however, gives a look into what far-right conservatives want their leadership to prioritize. The project, which calls for a return of Trump-era policies, increases the power of the executive branch and presents an extreme vision for the future of the U.S. With regard to tribes and indigenous communities, it focuses on increasing oil and gas and mineral extraction on tribal and public lands, and seeks to reverse the Biden administration's work on climate change and the protection of culturally significant places. According to a survey published last year by the Native Organizers Alliance and partners, the top priorities for Native voters are climate change, racism, and health care. Project 2025's vision does not address them or the way they affect Native communities. Other issues critical to Indigenous communities are omitted. There's nothing about the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous people, for example, or sustaining and improving on tribal co-stewardship of public lands and the protection of cultural sites, extending investigations into boarding schools, or details on improving the Indian Health Service. Trump has repeatedly tried to distance himself from Project 2025, but the authors of the 922-page Mandate for Leadership include at least 140 former Trump administration officials, according to a review by CNN. The section regarding the Department of Interior, including the Bureau of Indian Affairs, was written by Trump's former acting head of the Bureau of Land Management, William Perry Pendley, former Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary in Indian Affairs under Trump, John Tasuda Kiowa, is credited with assisting him, Pendley, a controversial attorney who spent many years as president of Mountain States Legal Foundation, regularly opposed tribes' effort to protect their cultural sites, and according to The Intercept, has openly shared racist views on blood quantum. The section in the mandate on the Bureau of Indian Affairs has one overarching focus: more coal, oil, and gas and mineral extraction. It echoes other sections on the Department of Interior that suggest restarting leases in areas that many tribes have fought long and hard to protect from energy development. That, combined with the suggestion to bring back Trump-era reforms of the National Environmental Policy Act, could be troubling for some tribal nations, said Gussie Lord, managing attorney of the Tribal Partnerships Program at Earth Justice and citizen of the Oneida Nation of Wisconsin, since that's a key way for indigenous communities and tribal governments to have a say on whether or how a project that might impact tribal resources should proceed, if at all. The Trump administration put tighter limits on the length and timeline of NEPA documents and public and tribal consultation. Tribes are already somewhat limited in what they can do to protect places off-reservation, and a limited NEPA process could further infringe on their ability to protect sacred sites. Pendley recommended a full repeal of the 1906 Antiquities Act, the law by which a president can create national monuments. Such land designations have become a significant way for tribes to obtain landscape-level protection for places that are located off-reservation. During President Joe Biden's term, at least two campaigns led by or involving tribes have successfully pushed for national monument protections in Arizona and Nevada. While Republicans have made a show of opposing many new monuments, particularly Bears Ears National Monument, there have been exceptions. In California, for example, a Senate resolution with bipartisan support called on President Joe Biden to designate three more monuments in California that are championed by tribes. Outside the section on the Interior Department, substantive policy on Indian country is slim. The section on the Department of Justice makes no mention of the long-standing crisis of missing and murdered indigenous peoples, despite renewing a focus on violent crime, instead highlighting things like drug cartels and protections for protesters at abortion clinics. The section, including the Indian Health Service, acknowledges that reforms are needed, but lacks any detail concerning those reforms or information how the federal government will fulfill its responsibility to provide tribes health care. Given the overall attempt by Project 2025 to reverse the Biden administration's focus on climate, it's all but certain that tribes would not receive continued support for climate resilience efforts under the project's vision. The mandate for leadership repeatedly suggests siloing tribal interests by moving programs for tribes to the Bureau of Indian Education or the Department of Interior. In the section on the Environmental Protection Agency, a similar suggestion would create a separate office within the agency specifically for tribes. But the whole agency needs to understand tribal sovereignty and its responsibility to tribes, Lord said. You can't just shunt it over to one place and say, Indian stuff over here, Lord said. That's a mistake in any agency. It needs to be incorporated throughout. That was what Project 2025 has to say about Indian country. You're listening to Native Sun on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds of Arizona has been bringing the disabled audio access to print information for over 40 years. Learn more at our website, sunsounds.org, where you can also listen to our live streams or to individual episodes on demand. Now you can listen to us with the Sun Sounds app, which is available for free from your usual app stores for both iOS and Android devices. Native News Online has post-election survey results, which show a Trump-Harris split and a reservation divide. This was by Neely Bardwell and Marlon White Eagle and published on November 15, 2024. Native News Online released the results of a survey detailing Native American voting patterns on the 2024 presidential election. The poll, conducted November 7th through 13th, showed Donald Trump received 51% of Native American votes in the presidential election, while Kamala Harris garnered 45% of the votes. According to the survey, of 865 American Indians, Alaska Natives, and Native Hawaiians. The post-election poll was one of four national surveys of Native American voters conducted during the election cycle by Native News Online in collaboration with Northwestern University Medill School of Journalism and national survey firm Qualtrics. The results of the most recent poll closely mirror the overall population, where Trump received 50% of the vote to Harris's 48%, according to the New York Times, as of Friday, November 15th. The findings contradict an Edison Research exit poll for NBC News on Election Day that showed 65% of Native Americans voted for Donald Trump. Earlier this week, the Indigenous Journalist Association, or IJA, called NBC's exit poll highly misleading and irresponsible. American Indians only represent 1% of the total voters surveyed, meaning that a few hundred self-identifying respondents are being used to represent the diverse interests of millions of Indigenous people across the country. None of the exit poll locations, for example, were on tribal land, the IJA said in a statement. Traditional polling methods often struggle to capture Native American voters, according to Native News Online editor and publisher Levi Reichert. Collecting data and research among Native Americans is challenging because people often self-identify as being Native, even when they only have traces of Native American ancestry, Reichert added. A common response is that they heard their great-great-grandmother was an Indian princess. Frankly, we didn't want to count that group's votes. We wanted to ensure our respondents were either enrolled members or had direct ties to Native communities. The survey methodology addressed this challenge through collaborations with Northwestern and Qualtrics, which used specialized techniques to reach Native voters both on and off reservations. The polling team verified tribal affiliations and connections as part of the validation process. The goal of the survey was to reach a cross-section of Native American voters with responses from tribal members and descendants living both on and off reservations throughout Indian country. The survey demographics showed that 50% of the participants were female, 48% were male, 2% other. 51% of the participants were enrolled in federally recognized tribes, 49% of the participants were descendants. Approximately 147 different American Indian tribes were represented by the participants. 31% of participants said they were Democrats. 28% marked Republican. 27% said they were independent, and 6% rounded out the others. Key findings revealed inflation was a top concern, with 17% of survey participants listing it among their top three issues. Native American issues ranked second at 12%. Native voters, like their non-Native counterparts, said high prices and the economy were issues they were concerned about as they decided who to vote for in the presidential election. Native Americans in the survey who voted for Trump cited inflation at 21%, immigration at 16%, and jobs and economy at 14% as their primary concerns. Harris supporters prioritized abortion rights at 17%, Native American issues at 13%, and inflation at 13%. The data showed strong Democratic support among Native American voters living on or near reservations. In separate research conducted by Native News Online after the November 5th election, Reporters collected election results data from precincts on or near Indian reservations, including these findings. The two precincts on the Red Lake Indian Reservation in northern Minnesota, 90% of voters cast their ballots for Kamala Harris. On the Menominee Indian Reservation in Wisconsin, 80% voted for Harris. In Apache County, Arizona, where the Navajo Nation occupies 2/3 of the population, 58% voted for Harris versus 39% for Trump. Native News Online, in collaboration with the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University, engaged with Qualtrics to conduct 4 surveys during the presidential election cycle. Qualtrics, a company trusted in the polling industry, was selected for its experience in reaching hard-to-find populations. The Native News Online polling team reviewed each survey response to validate tribal connections and eliminate inconsistent or inaccurate responses. We were interested in Qualtrics not only because it's a respected company in the polling field, but also because Qualtrics has experience doing social science surveys that poll people who are hard to find. One of the ways Qualtrics finds these hard-to-find people is by collaborating with other peer companies so they can all pool their resources and get a good cross-section of the people they're looking to survey. Professor Stephen I. Hirsch of the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University said, in previous elections, surveys conducted by Native News Online were done internally among readers and skewed highly Democratic. The Qualtrics methodology produced only 38% of readers who read Native News Online on a regular basis. A final report will be compiled with data and information from all 4 surveys and released in early 2025. Native News' nonpartisan election surveys and related coverage were made possible with funding support from the MacArthur Foundation, the National Congress of American Indians, and Four Directions Native Vote. That was the article, Native News Online Post-Election Survey. Interior Secretary nominee draws praise from tribal leaders. This is by Amelia Schaefer of ICT and the Rapid City Journal, and was published on November 15, 2024. Late Thursday night, news broke that North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum was tapped to serve in President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet as Secretary of the Department of the Interior, replacing Laguna Pueblo leader Deb Haaland, the first Native American to hold the position. I have full confidence that Governor Burgum's heart and intentions are in a place that will ensure tribal nations are heard and respected in the decisions that shape our shared future, said Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate Chairman J. Garrett Renville in a statement to ICT and the Rapid City Journal. If confirmed by the U.S. Senate, Burgum would be responsible for the management of public lands and the protection of wildlife, national parks, and monuments. Burgum also would oversee many tribal functions, particularly the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Bureau of Indian Education. Compared to his neighbor, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, who was tapped by Trump to serve as Secretary of Homeland Security and is currently banned from all 9 South Dakota reservations, Burgum has a much better reputation and relationship with tribes in North Dakota and is credited with significantly improving dialogue between the state and 5 tribes. Burgum was born and raised in small-town North Dakota and first took office as governor in 2016. Not long after he took office, protests broke out near Cannonball, North Dakota, over the Keystone XL and Dakota Access pipelines. Fearing escalation, Burgum ordered all protesters to leave the encampments by February 22, 2017, saying he did not want protesters to be removed by force. The state is currently seeking to recoup $38 million from the federal government under the Federal Tort Claims Act, saying it spent that amount policing the Standing Rock protests. Burgum testified on February 24th in the federal trial. The case is still ongoing. Burgum's response to the protests raised alarms for tribes, and he and the Standing Rock Sioux tribe continue to have opposing stances on the pipeline, but the two maintain a solid relationship and meet regularly. On Wednesday, one day before the news of Burgum's nomination broke, leaders from the five tribes in North Dakota met with Burgum and North Dakota Indian Affairs Commissioner Brad Hawk at the governor's mansion. North Dakota tribes have such a great relationship with Governor Burgum, Standing Rock Chairwoman Janet Alkier said in a statement Friday. We all have such an admiration and respect for the friendship, partnership, and collaboration we have with Governor Burgum. He always reached out if we had an issue. Trump has expressed a desire to increase oil and gas production, which Burgum would likely be responsible for spearheading as head of the Interior. North Dakota is the third largest oil-producing state in the nation, with a majority of its supply coming from the three affiliated tribes, Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara, Fort Berthold Reservation. This position carries immense responsibility for stewarding our nation's lands and resources and fulfilling the federal government's trust obligations to tribal nations, Renville said. We look forward to working with Governor Burgum to advance critical issues, including the protection of tribal sovereignty and strengthening the relationships between the federal government and tribal communities. That article was Interior Secretary Nominee Draws Praise from Tribal Leaders. That's all the time I have for Native Sun, the show for Indigenous issues on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Your reader is Bethany Williams. Music is Land Back by Hallucination.